Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you ready to go?
Yep.
All right.
What time is it?
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib, and we got a great show for you today. If you want to call in, 323-870-3857. And let's get it started. Let me tell you what, Habib. Saudi Arabia, to me, is the new boxing capital of the world. It beats Vegas. It beats New York. They put on the best fights there, man. This card from top to bottom was good. It had a lot of good guys on there, a lot of good fights on there. I mean, they charged, what was it, $80 for the card or whatever. It was completely worth it. The card from top to bottom, man. And I thought it moved pretty good. I thought it moved really well and everything like that. I thought it was great, man. I really did. But let's get to the main event here. Let's get to the main event. This is unreal, man. On the zone, Alexander Usyk versus Tyson Fury for all the marbles, man. Undisputed. Alexander Usyk wins by a split decision, 115-112, 114-113 for Usyk, and then 114-113 for Fury. I had the fight scored 115-112 for Usyk. Fury wasn't doing a whole lot in the beginning, man. I thought he was clowning a little bit too much. Steve, in the first two rounds, did you think that because I thought that Fury took over for rounds like 3-7. But in those first few rounds, I think he almost like gave that away. I thought that he was doing way too much clowning in there. And I thought Usyk did the right thing. That first time he clowned and showboated in the corner and grabbed the ropes, he walked right away. He walked to the center of the ring. That was beautiful. Yeah. And it just let him know that he looked dialed in. When he came into that ring, Usyk looked dialed in. Fury looked loose. But Usyk looked completely dialed in, man, from the word go.
Thing about Usyk was, it's one thing being determined, right?
Yeah.
Not wavering. So some guys, you could say, this guy is determined. He's never unwavered, right? And he's dialed in. So you have the mental strength in there. But Usyk not only has the mental strength to find a way, he also has the intelligence to go along with that mental strength to find a way.
He's got
a lot of guys have that mental strength to try to find a way, but they can't always get there because they don't have the IQ to get there. He has both, which makes him very, very dangerous.
Yeah.
And I thought Usyk clearly won the first round. I also gave him round two, but two of the judges gave him gave Fury round two, and I actually thought
they were close rounds. Those were close. They were close.
Two was close. Three, you could argue, was close. I thought Fury won three. Some people,
I gave it to Fury or in the third.
Some people gave it to Usyk. I thought it was a close fight. I thought Usyk won the fight. I had it 6-6 in rounds.
The knockdown is what got you then.
Knockdown is without the knockdown, it would have been a split draw, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not going to get, again, the right man won the fight. I'm not going to split hairs on rounds because, again, we can argue all day. Every time we get in these discussions, I ask everybody, can everyone give me seven clear rounds that one fighter won? And if we all have those same seven rounds that one fighter won, then we can talk. But if everyone gives me scorecards and everyone's rounds are varied, some people gave Fury round two. Some people gave Usyk round two. Some people gave Usyk round 12. Some people gave Fury round 12. Round 11, I thought round 11 was a clear Usyk round, but
Usyk round.
You know, one judge gave it to So, I mean, again, 115 to 112 seems like the most popular scorecard out there. It's the general consensus.
Yeah.
A few people had it 114 to 113.
Well, I think it's you're arguing over one round at that point, and that's okay. Yeah. And that's okay.
Now, having Fury win this fight, I think, is a stretch, right? But again, I'm not going to argue with people. I thought Usyk
with
won
that
the
knockdown.
Fight.
I think with that knockdown, that's where I come
yeah.
in. With that
it's
knockdown,
hard.
It's hard, it's
hard
really to give
hard.
Fury the fight. It's I'm okay with it close.
I couldn't. Yeah,
it's hard for
I
me to give Fury the fight with that knockdown.
Yeah, I couldn't find a way to give Fury the fight, but I did think the fight was close. I did think it was competitive. I think both guys came back from adversity. I think the one thing that Usyk did in that eighth round when he landed that straight left and he busted up Fury's nose, Fury became a little wary of the shots down the pike. So in the ninth round, what Usyk did was he kind of dipped down a little bit, changed levels like he always does. Remember that punch Triple G used to throw with the backhand, how he'd come
yep.
over the top?
Yeah.
And this part of the fist
yeah.
would land. It's like this part of the fist would land right here, this
yep.
knuckle. You land with this knuckle.
That first knuckle, yeah.
Like that. So
it's almost like that overhand. It's like an overhand.
It's like a reverse hammer fist overhand. Like an overhand reverse hammer fist. And Triple G used to do that too sometimes, right?
Yeah.
And then when Usyk threw that, Fury didn't see it coming because he wasn't anticipating it, because when Usyk dips, Fury kind of looks down, and then this punch is coming up over the top, and it comes out of nowhere and hits him like in that temple area, and it just knocked off his equilibrium, and his legs were gone.
Well, I'll tell you, let's talk about before that ninth round even happened. We had the first two rounds. I think we can agree that Usyk, they were close rounds. I gave them to Usyk. I can't balk if you gave it the other way. But, you know, we had those first two rounds. And in round three, I gave Tyson the round. Again, another close round, but I thought Tyson, it was a Tyson round, but I thought it was close. I don't know that you could really give it to Usyk, but whatever.
Yeah.
From rounds three to round eight, round seven, I had him all Fury round. He took control of that fight.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, his jab was pumping. He was working. I think in the fifth or sixth round, I texted you, and I was like, it's going to be over soon, man. He is pounding this guy.
He style tweeted out.
Nuts.
He style tweeted out, this fight's going to be over soon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean,
on round six.
We looked at it. I mean, yeah, it was round six, and then you know, we were texting each other, and I was like, man, it's going to be over. I said, it's going to be over, you know. I said, both guys were putting in shots to the body, but – for whatever reason, Tyson looked like he was getting the better of him at that point. In those mid rounds, he was just doing a number on his body. He really was. And Usyk looked like he was really slowing down. In that sixth round, that's when he got in all that trouble. Usyk got in a ton of trouble in that sixth round, and he looked done. I'd never seen Usyk look like that, but he looked completely done. Mm-hmm. And in that eighth round, something changed. He got a second wind. I think he won that round. And then, of course, you have the ninth and so on. But what did he do between that, after that seventh round, going into the eighth round, and, of course, going into the ninth round? It looked to me, because in the mid-round, you know, like I said, 3-7, it looked like before, in the first couple rounds, Usyk was chasing Fury. Or Usyk was walking him down. In the middle rounds, Usyk was now chasing him. Fury was dictating that fight. He was making him come forward. It was no longer Usyk running, walking him down. It was Usyk chasing. You know what I mean? And I think that Fury had the fight going his own way. When he went forward, if he would have fought this guy like he fought Wilder, okay, and just tried to bully him, go forward and bully him, don't want to... The guy's a good boxer, and both guys are good boxers, right? But if he would have just, I think, roughed him up a little bit more, I think he could have had this fight won. I really do. It was that close.
It's funny because I was saying this. I said it to Maestro. I think I even said deep down. In the sixth round, you know, when he hurt Usyk and he didn't really go all the way in, I have to say that Joshua hurt him too, but didn't jump all over him. But I think people are concerned with this guy's speed, and they don't want to walk into something because they know how quick this guy is.
Yeah.
So, and he does. He definitely proved that he's a legit puncher. because he hurt not only Fury, but he hurt Joshua, almost had Joshua out in that first fight in the 12th round. So I say to myself, these big guys are always going to be concerned with this guy's speed. So when they hurt him, they don't want to just run in, because they obviously are concerned at what could come back at them. And now, I mean, Fury's got to say to himself, this guy can hurt me, right? And once that happens, then the game plan, then just the aggressiveness kind of gets dialed back a little bit, and then you start thinking, you know, I gotta watch my step here, because if I run into something, this guy could hurt me, possibly get me out of it, right? So once that's established, then the approach changes as well,
yeah,
right? And Fury was boxing very well. It appeared as though he was keeping Usyk at the end of his long jab and his reach. And Fury was doing some great body work. And Usyk was doing some great body work. They both were doing some great body work.
They surprised me, yeah. Usyk, we knew was going to go after the bot.
Yeah.
I didn't expect Fury to do that. And Fury was very effective at it.
And the thing, too, and Chris Algieri made a beautiful point. Like, when Usyk did get hurt, he would take a step back. But then he said, fuck this. I'm going back in.
Yeah.
He never wavered. I haven't been so impressed with the fighter before in a long, long time. He was giving up 40 pounds, and he was hurt. He looked like
– he was done. In that fifth and sixth round, he looked done to me. You know?
You have to have the heart. And again, we talk about fighters who have the heart of a lion, and they don't give up, and they go blow for blow.
But you need more than that here.
But he added that layer of this. When you take that, and I hate to keep repeating it, and you combine it with this, making that little dip move, and then come over the top with that punch from that weird awkward angle, mm-hmm. that Eastern European reverse friggin' sledgehammer hammer.
Yeah, that reverse hammer.
I mean, that's a triple G. That's a triple G punch, man.
That's a triple G staple right there.
That's
yeah, it really
G
is.
Punch. And I can't say nothing but good things about Usyk. So again, I'm not gonna come here and nitpick and argue about scorecards. Could the referee have stopped it in round 9? Yeah, I would have stopped it if I was the referee.
That fight should have been stopped. I'm gonna tell you this now. When that, and I know the referee's got a split second to make the decision. I don't think it was a split second that cost. I think the fact that he was indecisive is what cost him, because I thought he knocked him out. I thought that was it. I thought the referee, because the referee
done.
Went in. The
I
referee went in and waved his hands like that. He went in and then decided to call a knockdown. Listen, when was the last time you saw a standing eight? Never. You're like, I mean, we used to see him back in the day all the time.
Well, He fell into the ropes.
I know, and I know he could technically give him a standing eight. How many times have we seen that people fall into the ropes and not get a standing eight?
Oh yeah, they make mistakes. And if you're gonna call that a knockdown, why not call it initially when he first fell into the ropes and the ropes was holding up?
We can have him knocked out all the time. He hit him with a left hand. I know Usyk hit him with a left hand at one point. It was an overhand left, and you just saw Fury's eyes go back onto the ropes. If the ropes weren't there, he'd have fell.
Yeah,
call that a knockdown. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's very few standing eights in the sport. There really is. And, I mean, we used to see him back in the day, you know, but that was the wrong move. I'm going to tell you right now,
well,
that was the wrong decision.
Technically, it wasn't a standing eight, Eric. He called it a legit knockdown because the ropes held him up.
Yeah, so, I get that. But, again, it was – but nobody was knocked down. So it's – to me – and I know the ropes held him up. I know the rules. I mean, I get it. Trust me, I do get it. But what I'm saying, it was the wrong call. It was the wrong call because he had been battered. Up to that point.
And again, I'm not disputing that.
Yeah, and I mean, he had been battered up to that point. And when
I'm
the referee goes in and waves, it looked like it was legitimately stopped. And then he's counting on the knockdown, you know. And I'm like, what is he doing? Why are you counting?
Oh, so your argument is he thought about stopping it, but then
it was indecision is what it was. This wasn't that he just got it. This was indecision is what that was.
But again, go, you know, try to take the other side of the argument.
I get it. And
get
I get
it.
That guy is under a lot of pressure. I get that. He's under a lot of pressure. And he stops this fight. This is for the undisputed championship of the world.
But also,
and you stop that fight. I get it. But as a referee, you have to make a decision. Like it or not, the decision has to be decisive.
But factor one more thing in there. People have seen Fury get knocked down multiple times and be hurt multiple times and come back from being knocked down and hurt multiple times. He's never been this hurt. Never. This was the worst he's ever been hurt. But I think, you know, in the back of the referee's mind, he's thinking of that 12th round Jack Reese. He's thinking
I almost went and counted. I almost went and counted. I didn't get a chance to. I wanted to count and see how many unanswered punches were in that flurry that led to that knockdown. There was a lot. He was getting battered.
Yeah.
And I've never seen a fight where somebody can take that many punches and not have it stopped. That referee was looking quite a bit in that ninth round. He was really looking. Before that, he was looking to jump in there. Because, he was always close. He was always looking and looking and looking. And when that ninth round, like I said, when that exploded in that ninth round, that should have been the TKO. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, and again, I can't argue against that. If I was the referee, I would have stopped. If I would have waved it off. If that was me in that position, I would have waved it off.
Technically, was it the right call? If you're going by the rules and everything, I get it. It's a knockdown. I get it because the ropes held him up. I understand. However, what I'm saying is you made the wrong choice. You should have stopped that fight. And let's put the – okay, let's – he didn't stop the fight. So let's go forward. What did Fury do? He lost the next four rounds. He lost all of those rounds. He didn't win any of them. I didn't give him the 12th. I didn't give him the 11th, the 10th, nothing. He lost four straight.
I gave him the 12th. Three judges gave him the 12th.
And let me tell you what, I don't know. Like I told you before, he lost a lot of weight, and he looked like he sculpted up and everything, lost a lot of weight. I don't know, but he looked dead after that ninth round. Coming out in the 10th, he didn't look the same. 11th or 12th, he didn't look the same.
I thought he did okay in the 12th, and he did, but he did lose four rounds in a row. He lost 9, 10, 11. He lost 8, 9, 10, and 11. I thought the 12th, I thought he came back a bit. I actually gave him the 12th. That's where our scorecard's different. We have identical scorecards, except I gave him the 12th. And the three judges gave him the 12th, too. But, you know, it is what it is. If you don't give Chris Mannix didn't give him the 12th either. Chris Mannix had an identical scorecard to yours.
Yeah, I think mine and Chris Mannix were just about the same.
Yeah,
I think mine was different or something.
Mine was identical to one of the judges. I think the judge from the United States. Yeah, mine was identical to Mike Fitzgerald's. I scored the fight identical.
Yeah, and mine was identical to somebody's. I don't know who it was, but
I thought round 12 was a close round. I thought. The first minute of that round, no one was really doing anything. Then Usyk had a good second minute. But then the third minute, I thought Fury started doing well. And I thought, he buzzed Usyk a couple times with the right hand and he landed a good body shot. But it was that round was on the table. Either guy could have got that round. I just thought Fury got it because I thought his shots were a little bit more telling in that round. But
yeah.
I'm not going to argue, though. I'm not going to argue.
Yeah, and I mean, I tell you – all in all, it was a great fight. We could talk about the ninth round. Well, you could also talk about, hey, it's karma too, because Usyk got knocked out by Daniel Dubois. That was not a low blow. That was a body shot and knocked him out, and he was saved by that low blow by the ref. So you could say, hey, it's karma, you know, whatever.
But with all that being said, for Fury to get hurt that badly in the ninth round.
Oh, yeah.
How the fuck does he come, like...
How does he finish the fight?
How does he finish that fight? How does he come back,
you
know, and hang in there? You know, even in round 11, he lost that round, but he was still, like, trying, you know? He was still trying to mount an offense in that round.
Yeah.
Round 10 was a kind of like a recovery round. He didn't do much. But round 11 tried to come back. He couldn't, but he tried. Then round 12, he started... getting a little bit more, but
tremendous heart, man. Tremendous heart.
Yeah, tremendous heart.
But I got to wonder. I got to wonder. You know, and he looked good. Up, you know, he looked good in the first few rounds and everything like that. He looked good. He was moving great. He was moving great. After that ninth round, though, his movement, you know, like I said, he just looked gas to me. You know, he just looked done. But he looked a ton better, obviously, than he did against Francis Ngannou. But was the Tyson Fury that beat Deontay Wilder the second time, would he have lost to this guy? I don't know.
Different styles, Eric.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough.
Different styles.
But I do think that, and he had a good game plan. I mean, he had a good game plan. It's just Usyk, you know, you're looking at a guy, you know, did he win the silver or something like that? Silver or gold in the Olympics
gold.
Or something like that? Gold in the Olympics.
Gold.
You see his last 10 fights? You saw his last 10 fights and who he's fought? Beat Joshua twice. This guy is a different guy, man.
He's a different dude, man.
How about this? How about the craziest fact of the night? How about this? Sean Porter owns a win over the undisputed heavyweight champion of the world. How about that? He owns a win over Alexander Usyk in the amateurs. How nutty is that, right? That's crazy. That's crazy. You know where Sean Porter's from?
Las Vegas.
That's right. He's from Las Vegas. We don't claim him here, all right? He gets him, he blows, and then all of a sudden now he wants to claim it. Nah. It doesn't work.
We got rid of him.
We got broader now. He's going to kill Blair Cobb, I'll tell you that. Friend of the show. But, well, they're both friends of the show. So, there you go. What happens next?
Rematch. Too much money.
Yeah. I think they will rematch.
It was a great fight. Everyone was happy at the end of it.
You know, remember when Holyfield-Lewis, that first one came in, and that was a draw? You know, I mean, it is what it is, but, you know, we all knew that Lennox Lewis won, like, 10 of those rounds, you know?
I think I had that fight 9-3, actually.
Yeah, I think mine was somewhere around there, too. I mean, because you really couldn't – I think you gave Holyfield the third round, and that was it, or the second round, and that was it. Something along those lines. And then in that second fight, it was still a one-sided win for Lennox Lewis and everything like that. And you thought, man, after all this, after we waited all this time and all the promotion and everything, it was just kind of fizzled. It was just, you know, you crowned Lennox Lewis. We figured he was going to win, you know, so there you go. And this one was just the complete opposite. I mean, it's fight of the year, hands down, so far. You can't, I don't see it being topped unless they do it again this year. 114, 113, I mean, your point either way, it's razor thin. This is what it was about. This is what we, you know, this is lived up to the hype. It lived up to all the hype, you know.
Close fight?
Yeah, real close fight. And I just think that, you know, I wonder, where does Usyk go from here? Does he go on? I mean, you know, is there a rematch, you know? I mean, Usyk's been in this game for a while, too. He's got some miles on him as well. And he's 37, 38. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Tyson's 35. You know? And, I mean, really, who do you got left? You beat Joshua. You beat Tyson Fury. Who's left? Nobody left. You know? What would you want to do again? I can't imagine how much money they got for this fight. I know Saudi Arabia put out a pretty penny for this fight. I know they're getting paid a lot. So, if you're Usyk, what do you do? You know, do you go on and fight him again?
If you're Usyk,
or do you just call it a day?
You can call it a day, but it's going to be hard to call it a day because of the money that's going to be on the table.
Yeah, I think both
guys could call it a day. Joshua's 34; he's the youngest out of this crop of. The old guard here with Wilder, Usyk, and Fury. He's the youngest out of he's the youngest out of all of them, and he's probably got the least amount of miles on him as well. So Joshua could step in and can clean up and pick up what's left of the
Josh.
You know,
I tell you, man, Joshua, I wouldn't count him out of any fight. I really wouldn't. He's kind of made a resurgence as of late. And he's still got his power. He's still got that power. He can still box. He's still relatively quick. You know, I mean, he's in good shape.
I mean, do you want to see a Joshua Usyk free?
No.
A lot of people probably don't really care about that, right?
No. And I would watch this fight again. I would watch a Tyson Fury Usyk again.
Yeah, I think this is a good enough fight that you could definitely – that warrants a rematch.
Yeah, but I wonder, like I said, I mean, how much money, you know, and everything like that. I mean, I don't have to see it again, put it that way. It was a good fight. I would watch it again, but I don't have to see it again. I already saw it, and guy won, you know.
Usyk cemented himself as the best heavyweight of this era.
Yeah. Now, if they do fight again and Fury wins, you know there's going to be a third one. There just don't have to be, you know?
Could be, or Usyk could walk away, and then you just do AJ
and Fury, and that would be the big one, yeah. So, because it didn't sound like Fury was going anywhere. Fury sounded like he wanted to fight again and everything like that, and I don't know. I still don't really know what to think. I mean, I thought that after the Ngannou fight, he looked good, and I think he can definitely – I think maybe he just had a bad night. But I still think there's slippage there. I do. But I still think he can compete definitely at a high level, definitely at the highest level. So, yeah, I thought he did good, man. I thought he did good. He's got nothing to hang his head about. There'll be another fight maybe. And if there's not another rematch, he'll be fighting for the title anyway. So there it is. What a fight, man. It was a good fight, man. It really was. Lived up to all the hype and everything. It just was. So, let's see here. Let's talk about the co-main, Beeb. Let's get to that co-main real quick. Jai Opatai versus Maris Bradus, the IBF cruiserweight title. Opatai survives a late onslaught by Bradus to regain the IBF cruiserweight belt, 117-111, 116-112 twice. Beeb, this fight was pretty much a wash up until those last few rounds. I mean, Bradus came out of nowhere. Yeah. And I thought, wow, he might close this guy. I mean, he might win this fight. Like, he was that, you know. King KO says it was not a close fight. The Fury lost 8-4 plus the knockdown, not a close fight, too. Yeah. It was a close fight.
Your opinion, bro.
Stop it.
I'm not going to argue over close fight or not close fight. I mean,
it was a close fight. Edward Torres said it should have been stopped in the ninth. I agree.
Well, you can argue that.
Yeah. Gavin's Ghost says, what if the belt's fractured with the IBF? I don't know. It depends on who's next. It depends on – listen, man, some guys will throw money at you. It's – trust me, it'll be fine. And nothing's getting fractured. They're going to throw money at it, you know. Let's talk about that. There's a couple big upsets on here, aside from the main event here. Joe Cordina versus Anthony. Is it Kikache? How is it?
You got it.
Kikache? Okay.
Yeah.
Man, I'll tell you what. He beat Cordina in a big upset. He was a 7 or 8 to 1 favorite, Cordina was, and got knocked out in the eighth round. I can't remember. What was this in, B? The third round or something like that? When did that happen? Where they broke, and I guess he punched him on a break or something like
that. Well, here's my argument with that. So
the ref's got to get in there, too.
The ref's got to get in there, number one. But Cordina was the one who was initiating the roughhousing.
Mm-hmm.
And when the ref said, stop, break, right when he said stop, in the middle of him saying stop, break, Cordina already hit Kikache, right? And then Kikache just retaliated to what Cordina did.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. Like, Cordina was the one who was getting a little aggressive and sloppy and roughhousing and stuff.
And he paid for it.
And he paid for it. Like, I'm not going to sit there and expect Kikache to just sit there and not retaliate. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And Kikache was an animal on the inside with those body shots. He was ripping the shit out of Cordina's body. And he was landing those uppercuts on the inside. He kept hitting with those uppercuts, bro. What a performance, man.
Yeah.
What a performance.
It was. I was shocked. And I tell you what, you know what was funny is that those odds were like crazy. you know, when we looked on DraftKings, I'm like, I almost bet on Cordina. I'm like, there's no way Cordina's not going to win this fight, you know. And I was like, ah, I laid off it. And as soon as that happened and I saw him get in trouble, I ran to DraftKings to place a bet. They had took that fight off the board. They had already took that. I remember I texted you and I said, they took that fight off of the board. You could no longer bet on it either way. It was nuts. And I was like, wow. So Eddie Hearn had to be just gutted yesterday. He lost the Cordina fight. That's his guy. He lost that fight. And Tyson Fury lost that fight too. And that was the other one, because if Tyson Fury won, they were going straight to AJ. I don't know that they were going to – well, I guess there was a rematch clause there, but they wanted to do the AJ fight is what they wanted. And so he lost twice last night, man. So it was a rough night for Eddie Hearn. But you're going to have those kind of nights, man. Anthony Kakache looked great, though. I mean, he really did. I don't think – and I tell you, man, I started to say, I don't think that that retaliation and that hitting after the break or whatever – I don't think it did anything to Cordina. I really don't. He didn't, you know, it may have buzzed him or whatever, but that wasn't what turned the fight. And the announcers were trying to say that's what turned the fight. Trust me, that's not what turned the fight. Kache was putting in shots. He was putting in hard punches, and they were landing. And that's what, even in those first couple rounds, when I'm watching, I'm like, man, Cordina's really winning these rounds, but that guy's not laying down for him. And he's hitting him with shots. He's like, he's landing some big shots, you know? Aaron Daly says he starts to see Cordina go out like that. That's a gold medalist. One of the gold medalists, Cordina.
Yeah, he's got a great amateur background as well too.
It's tough, man, because like, you know, these guys come up here and it's like very, you know, it's tough. It's tough to figure out like who's got the pro style and who doesn't have the pro style, and it's hard to adapt. I think they make a mistake with trainers and everything like that, by trying to get them to adapt to that style. They have to get them to adapt before they go in, you know, because again, it's a different sport. I know everybody else said, just like bare knuckle fighting is a different sport than boxing. Boxing and amateur boxing are just literally two different sports.
I agree.
You know, one's going to be fought at a faster pace. One's going to be fought at a slower pace, but it's still quick. You know, it's a different thing. It's a different kind of thing.
I agree.
I get Kaya Bell versus Frank Sanchez. This one shocked me, but he was compromised. You know, Frank Sanchez comes in there with a knee brace and everything like that. He can't move. What's Frank Sanchez's game? Move. That's his game. That's his entire game, Beeb. He sticks, he moves, he's elusive. That's his entire game. This didn't do him any favors at all. And I tell you what, I'm shocked knowing that he was that compromised that he went in there and fought. It had to be one of those deals where it was like, look, you're going to fight. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to go in there and fight, you know, because he needed the money or whatever the case may be, man. He had to get in there. But, I was you surprised at that outcome? I know Kaya Bell.
Yeah, I didn't think Kaya Bell
defeated, but I didn't expect that.
I didn't think Kaya Bell to win that fight. And the thing was he just was so aggressive, and he did such a beautiful – And Frank Sanchez is not known for his inside fighting. He's a guy who likes to be mobile on the outside and kind of pot shot, stick and move from the outside, turn you.
Yeah.
You know, keep you at the end of the shots. But if his mobility was compromised and he couldn't move and establish his range and his distance, then obviously Cabiel's game is the go to the body on the inside, throw those short shots on the inside. Those short hooks and uppercuts on the inside.
Yeah.
And he was able to just keep applying pressure.
Hey, guys. Guys, if you're listening out there, we got quite a few people watching right now. Give us a thumbs up, man. If you're not doing anything, just give us a thumbs up, man.
Hit the like button.
Hit the like button.
Does it cost anything?
Yeah, it doesn't cost anything. We don't ask you for money.
Hey,
send us $100 and just hit the like button. It's
you can do that if you want, because it will go to the – Robert Herrick pay-per-view fund. If you want to fund. We will try to funnel it to him, but
that's right.
Hey, everybody in the chat, hit the motherfucking like button.
There it is. Couldn't have said it better myself. There you go. All right, and then we had. Oh man, this was a tough one to watch. Robin Safar versus Sergey Kovalev. What in the world, man? I couldn't believe Kovalev's still fighting. That's number one. But number two, Jesus.
He's got to call it a day.
Man, he looked horrible last night. And whatever judge gave it 95-94, I'd be taken out back and horsewhip. All right, because that was not a competitive fight. Safar wins 97-92, 99-90, which is about what I had it. 95-94. Yeah, it was unanimous. Listen, man, he didn't come close to winning that fight. He barely came close to winning a round. You know, you may have been able to give him a sympathy round or something like that, but that's it. That's it. He looked awful. His power's gone.
Yeah.
His movement's gone. He's done, son. He is done. And, like, you know, Kathy Duva running him out there. Right? Kathy Duva should have known better. You know what I mean? Kathy Duva should have known better to put him out there, man.
Yeah,
that dude looked big at the weigh-in. When I was watching the weigh-in and I saw Kovalev and I saw him next to that dude, I'm like, man, he's going to get smashed. I looked at that dude. That dude is muscled up. I mean, he looks big dude. And, yeah, man. Yeah, Danny Drew just said he didn't belong in the ring. I agree. I agree with it, man. Alex Bellotti says he wasn't compromised. Anyone could put on a knee brace pre-fight just in case he could beat up as an excuse. Fury should have won.
Whatever you say, man. Next time he's gonna bring an MRI to the ring. I guess.
Right. Why would he wear a knee brace?
I mean, you guys, come on. You guys are brutal, man. You want MRIs? You want to see fucking CAT scans? You want X-rays? I mean, the guy was fucking hobbling. He was literally picking his leg up and shaking it because his fucking knee was hurting him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, why would he wear a knee brace if he didn't need the knee brace?
He's never fought that stationary in a fight before. He's always moved. Please.
Yeah. Philly Drew said he thinks Kovalev waited too long to move up. I think Kovalev didn't. It didn't matter when he moved up, man. I'm telling you, man.
Yeah.
He didn't belong.
Kovalev's like an in-betweener type weight. Like if this was the UFC, he'd be fighting at 185.
Yeah.
He's not a cruiserweight, but he's not a light heavyweight either.
No, and where's he go? Bridgerweight. No, Bridgerweight's above cruiserweight, so what am I? Yeah, there you go. He's
super light heavyweight, I guess. I don't know. Create a division.
Super light heavyweight. Yeah, he was definitely, like I said, I mean, if he comes out there with a knee brace or whatever, why else would he wear it? You know what I'm saying? Doesn't make sense to, you know. All right, let's talk about ESPN. We got Dennis Baranchik versus Emmanuel Navarrete. Baranchik beat Navarrete, split decision, 116-112, 115-113 on both cards. On two cards, and then it was a split decision, so Navarrete got 116-112 also. I've never been, like, that impressed with Navarrete. Everybody was really high on him. I've just never been that impressed. I really wasn't that impressed with Dennis Baranchik either, but he did his thing last night.
I thought he was busier. I thought he closed the distance. I thought he was throwing more punches. And he was pushing Navarrete back. Navarrete just didn't seem to have the energy or the strength. And here's the thing: you got a guy who can't make 130 anymore. So the big question is, will the guy moving up be strong? Will he still have that same power? Will he still have that same strength? Will he still be able to kind of boss guys like he did at 130? And apparently not, because Baranchik again is a tough little guy. He's aggressive, not the hardest puncher in the world, but he's a good inside fighter. He's got quick feet. He's aggressive, and he's got a great little engine, and he is on you like white on rice for every second of every round. And, you know, he just outworked Navarrete, and Navarrete really could not land any significant shots. And there were times where neither guy was landing any significant shots in the fight, but you got to give it to the guy who's more active, who's more aggressive, right? If neither guy is landing a ton of significant shots, then you gotta reward the effective aggressiveness. And I thought that Baranchik won this fight. I had it close. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't a walk in the park. I had a 115 and 113 like I think the two judges did. But again, this guy was like a four. What was he, like a four or five? I think he was a 5 or 6 to 1 underdog here. Like the underdogs, they were They were out in full force this weekend. So
what about the Ukrainians? What about the Ukrainians?
Yeah.
Brancek, Usyk, yeah. They
all of you fantasy boxing experts here, just fantasy boxing leagues, bragging about your predictions. I don't think you guys did all that great this week.
Yeah,
hey, man. Well, I haven't gotten a pick wrong in about 6 weeks. Well, I'm sure a lot of you got like 5 or 6 of them wrong yesterday. I hear these fucking guys with their fantasy fucking prediction leagues.
The fantasy prediction league, yeah. Oh, man. Did the Pacers win?
I don't know.
Let me see if I can get them. Yep, Pacers won 130 to 109. They will play the Celtics in the Eastern Conference semifinals. All right. Indiana. We got one local team in there. Cavs got beat by your guys, they got beat by the Celtics. We got the Pacers. They're a local team. We'll see what happens, man.
What did you expect?
I don't know, man. I'll tell you
what. Boston is the city of champions. What is Ohio? What are you guys
have? We're Titletown. What are you talking about?
We're Titletown. What kind of titles you guys? Like the three-legged race, the hot potato?
We got the three-legged race. That's an easy one. We got the arm wrestling champions of the world. We got Adrian Broner, 4-time first ballot Hall of Famer, Adrian Broner. We got Aaron Pryor, Ezra Charles. Come on.
Yeah, I'll give you Aaron Pryor and Ezra Charles.
Yeah, those are pretty good. That's pretty good pedigree here. Pretty good. And we got the next heavyweight champion, Jared Big Baby Anderson. He's mowing through guys left and right.
We had Rocky Marciano. We had Marvin Hagler.
Who? Marciano?
Rocky Marciano, man.
Was he a fighter? I don't even remember that guy. That's ancient history.
Only heavyweight to retire undefeated.
That was like 1920 or something like that. They didn't even have cars back then.
Don't
even worry about it.
The Brockton Bomber, baby.
The Brockton Bomber. Where was he from? I thought, Hagler was from Brockton, wasn't he?
Hagler was from Brockton, and I believe Rocky Marciano was too.
Was he from Brockton?
I believe so, yeah.
Wow, okay. I didn't realize they were both from Brockton. Look at that. All right, let's start with the fight schedule here. Next week on DAZN, there's a fight. Lawrence Okoli is fighting next week, but there's no TV for it.
Bridgerweight fight, yeah.
Yeah, Lukas Rozanowski. It's in Poland. 12 for Rozanowski's WBC Bridger title. But Lawrence Okoli will be fighting for that. I think – if I had to guess, it would be on DAZN. If I had to guess, it would probably be on ESPN+.
Yeah, it could be on ESPN.
Okoli, Frank Warren?
I think it's on ESPN+. Like Okoli is with Ben Shalom, boxer.
Oh, yeah. I think it will be on ESPN then. Yeah. Okay.
Or it may be on Peacock, and it could be on Sky Sports.
Yeah.
Sky Sports main event. And
we got Sky Sports too, don't we?
We do on our...
Yeah, we got Sky Sports. So, yeah, we can watch
We can watch it.
For all of you who don't have Sky Sports, sorry about your luck, you know. Hey, Ringside Reporter, baby. Ringside Reporter. We get privileges most people just think about. You know what I mean? It's crazy. We're different.
Robbie can watch it on Peacock.
Robbie can watch it... I don't know. I don't know how he's going to watch it, but hey, you know, it is what it is.
A peacock.
Leeds, England next week on DAZN. This is a big one too, man. This is a very interesting fight, man. Josh Taylor versus Jack Catterall, 12 rounds, junior welterweights. Siobhan Clark versus Ellis Zorro on the undercard on the co-main, 12 rounds for the vacant British cruiserweight title. Yeah, not a great undercard, but I will tell you that main event is pretty good. Josh Taylor versus Jack Catterall. Beeb, and that's going to be it for this week. But, Beeb, let's talk about this fight for a minute. Josh Taylor has been obsessed with this guy. He has been absolutely obsessed with this dude. Aaron Daly said the fight will be on Peacock, so there it is. Sky Sports in the UK. Beeb and I will probably watch it on Sky Sports, but everybody else – maybe catch on Peacock.
Watch it on Peacock.
Just is what it is, buddy.
That's
right. Josh Taylor has been fixated on this guy. What do you think happens in this fight?
I'm going to edge it to Catterall. I think he's a little bit more mobile. And I think he'll box this fight smart on the outside, and I think he'll kind of pick him apart from a distance.
Yeah.
And I think Josh Taylor isn't what he used to be. He's not going to have the energy to really be as aggressive as he normally has been in his career. And I kind of think that Catterall is more fresher at this stage of his career. I think he'll win a comfortable decision here. I think he'll box a safe, smart fight. And I can see Josh Taylor getting a little frustrated and aggressive. And a lot of times, sometimes he gets a little over-aggressive and he kind of overextends himself a little bit and opens up and lunges with some of these shots. And his timing's, it's been off a bit. It's not what it used to be. I think I like Catterall here to win a close decision.
February of 2022 was when that Catterall fight took place. The Catterall and Taylor fight, that first one took place, right? Josh Taylor has fought once since then against Teofimo Lopez in a loss. He's had two wins. Catterall's had two wins since then, both unanimous decisions.
Correct.
Beeb, how does that play in going in here? I mean, again, he's more active. He's got more success. Fought some good guys, and he fought Teofimo, but that fight wasn't close.
No, it wasn't
close at all. So I kind of give the nod to Catterall here. I think that I just think he's the better fighter right now. And I agree with you, but there's got to be something there this has haunted Josh Taylor. This has haunted him, So it'll be interesting to see. I think he, comes out strong, but maybe he fades. I don't know. I haven't seen this much animosity since De La Hoya Vargas. There's a lot of animosity here.
I agree. And watching the buildup and the press conferences and stuff, haven't seen these guys go back and forth is actually hilarious. It's actually hilarious.
Yeah. They don't like each other. They do not like each other at all. Aaron Daly says that Chev Clark is a real promising cruiserweight. I haven't seen this guy fight.
He's good.
He's pretty good?
Yeah. I like Richard Reactor too, man. That guy's good. That guy's really good.
All right, let's go to the phones here. 530, Robert, live.
Hello, guys.
What's happening?
What a fight yesterday, man. That's definitely fight of the year. Fight of the year.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep. Without question. And, Eric, in case you did not hear, Frank Warren said after the fight that the two of them will be fighting again in October.
Well, that's not a foregone conclusion. Usyk can say no.
Robbie, let's not start with the rumors. It hasn't been made official yet. I know you want to be like Coppinger and you want to be ahead of everyone.
Listen, there's only one Coppinger. We all know.
And you want to break things before everyone else.
No.
This is why Human Resources had a problem with you when you were working here, man. Because your integrity's questionable, man. You're lucky we let you get your severance package, but I mean, you gotta learn from your mistakes.
Let me interrupt here just a minute. Because we're gonna backtrack here. Okay. You got Rocky Marciano. Who else you got? Because Hagler was born in New Jersey, son.
I don't care where he lived.
He was born in New Jersey.
He went to school in New Jersey, son.
Jersey fighter.
He was born.
You got one guy.
This
is Title Town, son.
Deal
with it. I'm put you on mute. Go ahead, Robert.
I grew up in Everett. I'm in Everett Crimson Tide, baby.
Everett Crimson Tide. Son, you ain't from Alabama. Everett Crimson. There's no Everett Crimson Tide. What are you talking about? Stop it.
We had the best football team in the country.
Embarrassing yourself.
One point.
Stop it.
It matters where you were born, it matters where you grew up.
From Boston.
Where are you? What are you saying?
He said the Everett Crimson Tide. You actually said that out loud. The Everett Crimson Tide. Stop.
Hold up for a second here. When he was introduced, when he was introduced to the Sugar Ray Leonard fight, he was announced as being from Brockton, Massachusetts. Go back and listen.
Correct.
Nah, he's from Jersey, son. From Jersey.
By the way, Eric, the Pacers are going to get slaughtered by the Celtics. It's not even going to be close.
Tell them, Robert.
Well, you know what? I hear what you say, but they got to play the game. We thought Usyk was going to get slaughtered. We thought Cordina was going to win big.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen.
No, well, you know what? That's why they fight the fight.
That's why.
But, yeah. And I agree with Joe. I think Jack Catterall is going to beat Josh Taylor.
Birthplace, Newark, New Jersey. You just proved my point.
Residence.
Stop it.
Brockton, Massachusetts.
Stop it.
Brockton, Massachusetts, USA.
Born in
Newark,
Jersey, son. Jersey gets all the fighters, too, man. They got Shakur Stevenson.
He was in New Jersey for 10 minutes.
Lisa just sent me a text. She said, it's good that you're remaining calm.
Yeah, this is a good version of calm, all right. Jack Catterall is definitely going to win that fight, in my opinion. When a fighter is too obsessed with one fighter and he doesn't try to fight anybody else, and then when he does finally fight somebody else, he gets embarrassed. That just shows that Josh Taylor is just too obsessed, and Jack may put him into retirement here. This may be the last time we see Josh Taylor. Who knows?
There you go. What did you have on that Usyk fight? What score did you have?
I had 114-113 for Usyk. So, yep, that's what I had.
There you go. Yep. All right. I think it was fight of the year also. I think it was fight of the year also.
It was worth every penny we paid for it. Now, that's a pay-per-view that delivered. It delivered.
Turkey a la Sheik, baby. Turkey a la Sheik. Best promoter in the game right now.
Yeah.
And you know where his favorite place is in the U.S.? Ohio. That's right. Oh. That's what I heard. He's coming to Cincinnati in a couple of weeks. That's turkey out of the sheep, baby.
Eric, if his favorite place was Ohio, Eric, if his favorite place was Ohio, the first United States card is going to be in Los Angeles, California, not Ohio.
Ohio's not a big boxing town. I'm just telling you. That's where he's coming.
Please, Eric.
We got everything over here.
Yeah.
LeBron James left the Cavaliers, that place went downhill.
Ever since they got beat by the Celtics, it went downhill.
Yeah.
Who do you think wins the Timberwolves tonight?
I think Denver. You got to beat the champions, and Minnesota's not quite ready yet. I think
you don't think
Denver,
so. That guy, who's it? Edwards? Is it Edwards? Like Baby Jordan, or whatever his name is.
Yeah, it's Anthony Edwards.
Man, that guy is good.
No,
yeah, that guy is good.
I think this belongs to the champions. Not that I'm a Nuggets fan, because I'm not, but you have to beat the champions. And I'm going to
defer to Beeb's brother. If Beeb's brother's the final on this one, if he says Denver's going to win, then we got to roll with him, all right?
He likes the Celtics in the finals, my brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think it'll be Denver and Celtics in the finals. And I think Boston will win.
Yeah, Boston's got it. Boston's due. Boston's due.
They are.
All right, Robert, we're going to put you on hold here. 917, New York. You're live.
Hey, guys. What's up, man? Yeah, that was a great fight yesterday. I didn't know that Kovalev was on the card. I tuned in, I guess, after that fight went down. So that's too bad. I would have liked to have seen that one. But,
don't feel too bad. I don't think Kovalev knew he was on the card either.
He is old to be still fighting at this age. He lives in California, so you know what prices are like over there.
He probably had to make this month's rent, you know what I'm saying?
more likely private school tuition for his kids at this point in his life. You know, one more fight.
Right?
And it's something like that.
He didn't miss
that
much,
that's
man.
The only reason.
Yeah, he didn't look good, well, man. He didn't look good, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, yeah, but, you know, since I tuned in, I would have loved to have seen it, even if it wasn't a good representation of what he has left. Yeah, I think the scorecard, most people are kind of aligned. Like, if it's not on each round, it's like the overall outcome. I definitely thought Usyk won the fight. I used one of those free apps to score it, and then it didn't save my results. I can't pull it up, but I remember specifically that I had the first four rounds split, 2-2 among them. And then I had Fury taking over. He really was laying it on him with the jab. He was using his fast hands. I actually think Fury might have been faster. Everyone's saying Usyk's faster. I'm not 100% sure about that. Or maybe it's just the distance.
Fury
maybe he had
quick.
The advantage of being able to shoot from further
yeah,
out.
It was the distance.
You know,
yeah.
Like, it's hard to tell, but he looked like he was able to get off faster, but definitely with long arms. It might have just been his height and length. And then when Fury started hurting him to the body and hitting him, I think like what you guys said, I was like, oh, man, this fight's going to be over soon. And, I mean, it was just pure mental strength and toughness that kept Usyk in the fight. And then, of course, we all know what happened when he caught Fury. You know, I'm just doing a quick recap of what everybody said already. But I definitely had – I think I had Fury take the last round, but with the knockdown, that's how I had the fight. I think it was 7-5 in my mind with the knockdown. You know what I mean? Being the, you know, additional factor towards Usyk. So great fight. You know, I'm not hearing people talk about, I'm just curious what you guys' take is like the fight atmosphere is looking pretty great out there. Like I've never had any interest personally in going to like Dubai or going to Riyadh. You know, I never really had like a personal desire to go to that part of the world because I just felt like it's like another Vegas in the Arab world, you know, a desert that they converted into a fancy, you know, high-rise atmosphere. Mm-hmm. But that freaking crowd and the building up and the music and all that stuff, it looked insane. It actually made me check flight prices. Like, what would it cost to go see a fight over there? Because now I'm interested.
It
you know,
like
I'm very much interested.
Yeah.
It looks awesome.
It looks awesome
and
over there.
I hope you guys kind of talk about that a little bit more. I know these guys are paying for the fights and making it possible. But, like, for us on this side of the world, you know, like in the Western Hemisphere, I'm wondering how hard it would be to do that. And what I will say is Crawford signed for a fight. I don't know when, so I'm really asking you guys a question, if you don't mind covering that. But they've been talking about potentially getting Crawford out there on one of these, you know, Saudi cards and stuff. And if they could combine a Crawford card with a heavyweight card, oh, my God, I think I would drop the cash. And I'd go out there and try to take, like, a longer trip and maybe hit Morocco or something or hit something nearby that I've kind of always wanted to do. And stop at Riyadh or you know or Dubai or whatever. Please let me know what you guys think about that. I'll stop there. All right.
All right, man. Thanks. I think it's beautiful. It looks beautiful out there. I mean, it really does. Dubai looks beautiful. Saudi looks beautiful. I mean, they do such a great job out there of building that area up. I mean, when you think about it, like when I was younger, obviously in high school and stuff, you always thought of like the Middle East as just like a big desert, and it's not like that. I mean, they got more stuff than we probably got, if not the same, you know. I mean, it looks amazing out there. They do, I mean, everything out there. The buildings, everything looks futuristic. Everything looks so clean and nice and everything. It is just gorgeous out there. It really is, man. And I would love to go out there just to visit. I mean, who cares if there's a big fight or not? I mean, just to visit a place like that. I mean, would be insane to me. You know, like I said, we've got Vegas over here and everything, and a lot of us have been to Vegas and stuff. And, Joe, you've been to Vegas, haven't you?
Several times, about five times. I love Vegas.
Yeah, I love Vegas too, man.
My favorite place in the world.
Oh, yeah. I like Vegas and New York City. Those are my two favorites.
Yeah.
If obviously Florida, you know, but those two.
I like Vegas because of the weather, because it's not really humid out there.
It's hot.
And it's hot, but it's
hot.
It's a dry heat. Everywhere you go, there's an air conditioner.
Yeah, I'll tell you this, man. When it's 113 out there, it's hot. You know, it doesn't matter where you go. It's like a sauna.
And then the honey dips are incredible out there.
Oh, my God.
Gotta love the honey dips.
Oh, God. Yeah, they're everywhere. And they're not like, it's not like, I mean, you go there, like, when you're in the casinos and stuff, they're everywhere, and they're all like 10s. They're all like model quality chicks, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's insane. Gavin's Ghost says women can even drive cars now. I guess that's in the Middle East. Listen, man, I don't care what they can do out there. It looks great. It does,
Alhamdulillah, man.
Alhamdulillah. That's right. Alhamdulillah. We've been saying that since Devin Haney fight. Alhamdulillah. We're probably offending like a ton of people, man. I hope I'm not offending anybody with that. So.
No.
All right. Let's stay in New York here. Buffalo, I believe, 716. 716, you're live. Then again, maybe you're not. All right. He goes on. We're going to go to Southern Cal. Southern California, you're live. 760.
What's going on, fellas?
This guy wonders why I cut him off.
Who do you think this is, Rocker Room?
I know. What are you doing? Come on. What's up, man?
What's up with you, man? What's going on, fellas? Oh, man. B, how you feeling, man? How you feel, B?
I'm trying to rub it in now. Wow.
I'm trying to rub it in now, boy.
Damn, the difference between you and me is when Deontay Wilder lost, you were in tears. When Fury loses, doesn't matter. History was made yesterday. This was a great fight. You don't see me crying, going to Publix, drowning my tears in a
He's going down
shake.
To Publix.
you don't see me drowning my tears in a chocolate shake like you were doing,
Eric, when Wilder lost.
He was
there.
When Wilder lost,
I was on the phone with you for an hour consoling you. So,
hey, you know why, though? Because
I don't have a problem.
You know why. I had to give up money for Wilder losing, okay? I was sad about that. I lost the bet. Homie, you was right there, man. Go back.
Do you see any bags under my eyes? Did I lose any sleep? Look at this. These beautiful
foundation again? What are you doing?
I don't know what the hell. Did I lose any sleep? Look at this baby olive oil skin.
You don't see it. There's no crow's feet here.
You probably
did. There's no wrinkles in his forehead.
I don't know what he does, man.
Man,
my face is suffering
like
from erosion, man. I'll tell you that.
I got fired yesterday as president of the Furomaniacs. I got my pink slip. I don't care. They found out I scored the fight for Usyk. They were mad. And they hated me. But I'm still riding high today.
They took his flat away and everything.
Eric, tell me this. How did he get fired? Did he fire himself? You are the leader of the Furomaniacs. What are you talking about, homie?
I'll tell you what, I had it
115-112 Usyk. I had 115-112 for Usyk.
Yeah, me too. I think the knockdown is what made the difference because that was a good fight, though. It was a close fight, definitely a close fight. That's what I had it to. I had him up by one just because of the knockdown, you know. But, man, that was some crazy shit. But I still got to talk to Beeb, man. Let me go back to Beeb. Beeb, you know, because, man, you and Tyson Fury, daddy, homie, you two are the worst. You trying to downplay this shit. Yeah, whatever, man. You know, it is what it is. No, motherfucker, you got to.
Well.
Come on. We got to give it to you right
let
now.
Let me tell you
homie.
This. But let me tell you this,
wait,
though.
Hold on, Eric. Listen. But, Eric.
There's not
Eric,
one scar
thing.
On my he, face. I wasn't in the ring taking the punches. This doesn't go on my record. Why am I going to cry?
Okay.
This loss doesn't go on Beeb's record. I'm still undefeated.
Man,
what do I got to worry about?
You've been campaigning for this dude, talking about he the greatest of all time, just like Tyson Fury daddy said.
Well, I'm going to backtrack off that now after the Ngannou fight and Alvin fight. I'm going to backtrack off of that now. Can I change my mind?
Right. Don't downplay that shit. And let me tell you something, man.
Oh.
Stop saying I got nostalgia, homie, and leave Muhammad Ali alone. Just leave him alone. Just leave Muhammad Ali alone.
What about Mike Tyson? What about your
man,
Mike Tyson?
That was a good fight.
Whenever I talk about Mike Tyson, you know what he says, Eric? Every single loss Mike Tyson has, you know what his excuse was? Oh, he wasn't in his prime. He's the only fighter in the history of the sport that had a 3-year prime, man. Everyone
kind
else
of prime was big, you know what I mean? Yeah, prime, exactly.
His prime is like 2 inches long, and everyone else has a prime a mile long.
He's trying to win. He's trying to win the whole shit. But so what, homie? I never said Mike Tyson was better than Muhammad. You made the campaign that this man, Tyson Fury, was the greatest boxer of all time. Just like his dad.
Well, no,
Mike
Tyson.
He came from
the
ball.
What do you want me to do?
Why do you want to go back 20 years and relive history? Let's deal with the present. He's not.
Leave him alone.
You think Mike Tyson would have beat
alone.
Ali?
Leave him alone, homie.
No.
Mike Tyson would have smashed Ali, son.
No, Ali would have.
Stop it. No.
I don't know, man.
Quit it.
I don't know.
Tyson would have smashed
that's
Ali.
That's debatable. I ain't going to.
I'll tell you one person that would have beat Mike Tyson. Guess what?
Who?
Tyson Fury would have beat Mike Tyson.
Yeah, Tyson Fury would have beat Mike Tyson.
Tyson Fury would have beat Mike Tyson.
He would have had that jab in his face all night.
Here we go.
He would have had a jab in his face all night.
Sure he would have. Sure. But, hey, man, Usyk, that shit he did last night, I really feel like it's up there with Evander, his accomplishment. And I also feel like Usyk could probably get down with the heavyweights in any generation. But I think that about Tyson Fury, too. I think these guys, I'm not going to take away these guys that they're pretty good. You know what I'm saying? They're pretty decent boxing heavyweights. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, Usyk is just better, man. Usyk is better. You know, you guys think they should push him on a pound for pound?
You gotta start giving Usyk his credit, man. You gotta start giving Usyk his props.
Yeah, I am. But I think, you know, at the same time, too, I think that the punch resistance of Tyson Fury isn't the same, man. That's what I was gonna say, too. I think in the rematch, I think Usyk might stop Tyson Fury. I think his punch resistance is not the same, man. That's what I think was wrong with Tyson Fury right now, is punch resistance.
I mean, he hit him pretty hard. I mean, it wasn't like any of us could have took that shot either, man. I mean, that was a pretty good shot he hit him with.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough to say his punch resistance went.
I mean,
but I will say, I think there's some slippage there. With Tyson Fury, I think there's no question about that.
Yeah,
there's definitely some
slippage.
Did I say his punch resistance is gone? I don't think it's gone, as in he has none. But I just
you're
think
just
backtracking
on what you said now. You said his punch resistance is gone. Now it's not gone.
Come on, man. I'm going to take it back. I don't think it's gone. Cause, I mean, he didn't get knocked
Robbie
out.
When it comes
you know
to
what I'm saying?
Backtracking.
But at the same time, too, it's not the same. You know what the fuck I'm saying. It's not the same, homie.
I don't
he took some
saying.
Damage,
Whoa!
Bro, from Ngannou, from
going on about
Ngannou, from
man.
Wilder. He
now
ain't
you
the same, man.
Now.
I told you that. And I told you that, B. He's not the same.
All right, Brian, we're going to get rolling
not
here.
The same.
Brian. What do you want us to say that you want us to say Fury's a shot fighter?
He's not a shot fighter. I don't think he's a shot fighter.
What is the goal here, Brian?
All right. 404 Atlanta, you're live.
Hey, what's going on, guys? This is Coach Eddie from Atlanta. What's happening?
Coach Eddie, what is the word?
Hey, what's up, man? Hey, good fight last night. I enjoyed it, man. I picked Usyk to win the fight. Actually, I picked him to win it by stoppage. I've been shouting that from the hill on all these platforms. And everything that I thought would play out would. I was on the panel this week talking about that Tyson Fury's size is going to play, going to be a detriment type Usyk. And I knew as soon as I seen Tyson Fury come in there, with them freaking boxing trunk pulled up to his doggone chest, I said, yep, I know what time it is. Usyk target that body and weaken him up all night long, setting up them shots up top. Another reason is styles make fights, and we say that all the time. And I always said that Anthony Joshua would knock out Tyson Fury because Tyson Fury is tailor-made for Anthony Joshua. Usyk is not tailor-made for Anthony Joshua. Usyk is elusive. He's smart. He moves around. Anthony Joshua would always would beat Tyson Fury. That's why they stayed away from him. Because that body, those body shots, that AJ does that great. Straight punches to the body. Tyson Fury is weak, man. He's a weak to the body, very weak to the body. And his chin, he's probably got the worst chin of any heavyweight like in the last 20 years. Because you touch it, he falls. He always falls down, no matter who hits him. He falls to the freaking ground, man. He can't take a punch. He's good at getting up, but he cannot take a punch.
He's good at getting up.
I mean, Usyk is a decent puncher. Can you imagine if Anthony Joshua detonated on this guy's chin? He wouldn't have got up last night. He would have been freaking with an oxygen mask on him. That same punch that he hit.
I could argue that Usyk is soft to the body, too, because Daniel Dubois knocked him out to the body.
Yeah.
And that was a knockout. That referee saved him from that, but that was a knockout, man.
Hey, but you got to remember, Danny DeBois a big puncher, man. He's just not the best boxer, but he can punch like a mule. He's a heavy-handed guy, man. So I knew that Usyk was going to beat the brakes off of him. Usyk did a good job. Proud of him. I think he's a good guy. I think he's good for boxing. I'm glad Tyson Fury didn't win.
Because
if he would have won, ain't no telling what we would. He probably would have won the hiatus. We would have never seen them belts again, man. He probably would have went and stuck up on his bed or something. And came up with a reason, you know, not to fight for the next 2 years or something like that, man, or start demanding like $500 million to fight somebody. So, hey, boxing won last night, man. Great, great fight. I'm going to give Tyson Fury his credit. You know, he tried to come out with a game plan and box Usyk, but Usyk was just too much to him. And, you know, what kind of took me by surprise, I didn't expect Usyk to really walk Tyson Fury down like that. You see how he walked him down and put him on the back foot? Like immediately, like he was coming out to stalk this guy, man. And it's strange.
Those first two rounds, he really did.
Got to give him credit,
really put pressure on him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tyson Fury did well, man. But to me, like I say, he's lunch right now, man. For any of these top heavyweights, man. I mean, everybody knows he can't take a punch. He cannot take a punch. He is the absolute chinniest boxer. And it's weird how people can speak. People don't feel Anthony Johnson has a terrible chin. Really? Who's the one that always gets knocked down all the time? Tyson Fury, the one that always gets knocked down every single time. No matter who.
Usyk got hurt in this fight and he came back strong, man. We got to give him credit.
Yeah.
Usyk got hurt in this fight and he came back strong.
And I'll tell you, for Tyson to finish the fight after that ninth round. I mean, for him to finish the fight on his feet, that was incredible too.
Yeah,
for sure.
Good,
all right, Coach, we're
going to
get running, man. Thank you so much, man. We appreciate the call in. Thank you. What about his point there that Tyson Fury has a soft chin? I don't know. I'll tell you. I think that's like saying Trinidad had a soft chin. You know what I mean? Because he was. You know, accustomed to being knocked out. I don't think it's a questionable chin he has, but he's also fighting guys over 200 pounds again. You know what I mean? He's fighting big guys, strong guys.
Again, if you can weather the storm and recover from the knockdowns and you get up and you fight, I mean, that says something about your resolve, I guess.
Yeah, I wouldn't exactly call Fury chinny.
Like he's getting knocked down by jabs. He's getting knocked down by legitimately hard, good hard shots that most people would get knocked down with if they got hit with them. So.
Yeah, I would agree with that. All right, let's talk about the news and rumors here, a couple of them here. Ring announcer Lieutenant Dan Hennessy calls it quits after the controversy. Steve, you remember Dan Hennessy. He was at the fights last week in Australia? Was he in Australia?
I believe it was Australia, correct.
And then he announced the wrong winner in that chicks card. Now, to his credit, nobody was watching that girl fight anyway. But, you know, he got put on ESPN for this and everything else. So he did actually, he called it a day. He actually retired after that fight. Do you believe that? I can't, because that's a pretty big mess up, man. That's a pretty big faux pas there.
I mean, what about Michael Buffer fucking up the weigh-in?
I didn't even see that. What happened?
He announced Usyk at 233 when it was 223.
Oh, yeah. Well,
are you going to fire him?
Yeah, right. That was on a smaller scale. I mean, if he announced the wrong winner last night, that would have been pretty bad.
I mean, he's in the union. He's not going to get fired that time.
Yeah. He's in the union. He's got a local 26 jacket.
We gave him a card.
Yeah. This is insane to me. This next piece of news here is insane to me.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Darren Till, UFC Darren Till, is on the undercard of the Tyson Fury, Mike Tyson, Jake Paul undercard. Darren Till has been added, a UFC guy, fighting Chavez Jr. Chavez Jr. versus Darren Till. Now, Darren Till, listen, man, Darren Till does have some, he's pretty good at the stand-up, very good, good boxing and MMA boxing. Chavez Jr. hasn't fought since what? Was he getting beat by the spider in Arizona or whatever?
Yeah.
Silva?
Yeah.
Cocaine ain't cheap, man. That's all I can say is cocaine ain't cheap, man.
Well, certainly not.
Because, like, really? Like, Chavez Jr. still fight? Why is he fighting? He's got to need money. You know what I mean? I heard Floyd Mayweather's going to have another exhibition again. He needs money. A lot of people on the inside, I've read a lot of people, 50 Cent, and I don't know how close he is with Floyd, says Floyd's broke. Gervonta Davis came out with that story saying that Floyd couldn't get out of Dubai because he owes somebody money.
Yeah.
And over there, it's a little bit different. Like, you can't really just stiff somebody like you can in America, and the courts handle it. No, you ain't going nowhere. Why would you do that in a foreign country? Why would you think you can get away with that in a foreign country?
I've heard stories of him getting defaulting on car payments.
Oh, yeah.
There's actually court documents of some of his properties being in tax lien.
Yeah.
I just don't think the guy's doing that well, to be honest. And normally I wouldn't care or say anything, but he's always putting up how much money the guy got. He's always bragging about his money, but that's his
thing, you know.
I think he's overcompensating and he's not telling the truth.
Yeah. I tell you what, man. Yeah. I mean,
you're not gonna be making commercials for windows in Wisconsin and stuff, and doing these meet and greets and charging people $3,000 for FaceTimes if you're not hurting for cash. And then you're doing all these exhibitions, and
you know, he really, if you look at his career, I mean, obviously he made a bunch of money and he spends a lot of money. I get that. But can you imagine how much he would have made going the other route and going the not bad guy, the good guy, the Sugar Ray Leonard route? You know, or the De La Hoya route and getting all those sponsors.
Yeah, look at guys like Canelo, Anthony Joshua, Tyson Fury. Look at all the endorsements these guys have.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this guy's got, like, no endorsements, bro.
Yeah, I always wondered about that. Like, why? You know, and I know he had some watch company or something like that for the Pacquiao fight or whatever, Hublot or whatever it was. You know, and he had like endorsements like from there, but he never really had any major like endorsements, you know, like Triple G even had an endorsement with Nike, and Andre Ward had an endorsement with Nike, I think.
Yeah.
You know, but you never saw him do any kind of like big endorsements, and you should have, because he was good, you know, and he was a name fighter, you know.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. All right, guys, that is going to do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter or X, excuse me, at jhabib1. Our YouTube channel is at ringsidereporterlive.com. And, of course, you can find me on X at ringside73. And, guys, we will see you next week.